And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
That's BetterHelp.com/TrashTuesday.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Trash Tuesday listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/TrashTuesday. I am so pleased to announce that our show is sponsored by Liquid Death.
Listen to this. Oh, yeah. Is there a better sound?
You guys can get free shipping on all water and merch at liquiddeath.com/trash. That's liquiddeath.com/trash, or find Liquid Death at 7-Eleven, Target, Albertsons, Safeway, or Amazon.
I have been having such a fun time on the road. I love meeting all of you guys. It's like insane. So much crazy things, so many crazy things happening during the shows. It's incredible. You can see me August 12th through 13th. In Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room Comedy Club. It's going to be amazing. I love that club. You can then see me in September. I'll be in Pittsburgh, Tempe, Arizona, La Jolla Comedy Store. I'll be at the Caluso Casino in California, you guys. That is going to be so fun. Party with Meta Casino. Please, God. That is so fun. Then later dates, I'll be in Kansas City, Irvine, San Jose, Michigan, and Florida. And you can go to annieletterman.com/shows to get it. Also, please tune in to my Spotify live show every Monday at 5 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's so fun. It's an interactive audio show where it's called Don't Bore Me with Annie Letterman. It's your chance to entertain me. It's been so fun, and I can't wait to talk to you on there.
Hi, you guys. I am coming back on the road, and you can get tickets at estheronice.com. I'm coming to DC, Austin, Phoenix, Seattle, and Portland. I'm very excited for these shows. They're going to be really special, and see you guys there.
That's not a tattoo. That's...
Imagine this was a tattoo. It'd be like an intervention, like Annie.
The lip liner?
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're going to put it on, you may as well just tattoo it on. May as well.
It feels like a tattoo. Exactly. It feels like I killed someone in juvie or something. It looks like my teardrop tattoo.
That's a green flag for me when a guy has a teardrop tattoo.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard it put that way.
It reminds you of your family.
A green flag.
Kalila has some murders in her family.
Are you familiar with the term green flag, like the opposite of a red flag?
Okay. I understand.
I mean, Esther, I honestly thought there was another explanation for it and that you weren't. That's good. This is Esther explaining. That's when it's something everyone already knows and Esther just learned it.
It's very simple and I get to feel smart for
Esther learned
seconds.
It on TikTok, so.
A teardrop tattoo is a green flag.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say, Anthony?
That I understand?
No. That when you see someone with a teardrop tattoo, that is someone you actually want to engage with rather than run away from.
No. If I saw a teardrop, any face tattoo, it's got to be, that's a choice. But I don't know if I would. I'm not like, oh, I'm attracted to that person because of the face tattoo.
Well, there's one specific face tattoo that means a lot, which is the teardrop. So that means you've murdered someone.
It does?
Yeah. Oh my God. Esther's first day in school, guys.
I don't think it always means you murdered someone. It could be like your mourning. I've heard people get it when like someone close to them dies.
Really? That's so confusing.
Carlos, pull it up.
I'm not a murderer. I'm just sad.
Oh. As much as I don't want to reveal about myself that I'm actually white trash or half white trash, my grandma has eyeliner tattooed onto her eyes.
That's not...
The same.
That's not white trash. That's also very Asian. Yeah, all Asian women have tattooed eyebrows. Finally. Like older Asian women.
Eyeliner. Did I say eyeliner? Eyebrows? Sorry.
And eyeliner.
That's just like a time saver. It's not even really a tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Esther's like, I don't want to brag. My family's so hardcore.
We're like,
they don't want to waste time putting
girls.
Makeup on.
But I am like, what does that say about my genetics that my grandma tattooed eyeliner? Like, are we like hoes or something?
I think just lazy.
Yeah, honestly, I would love for you to tattoo some fucking eyeliner on. Come in with something. I'll pay for it, honestly. I'll pay for your whole... I want you to get tattoo contour.
Esther,
do you want to introduce our guest?
So today we have Anthony Jeselnik. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Big fans of the Jeselnik Rosenthal Vanity Project.
The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP. You sound like a big fan.
I really am. Carlos and I listened to it. Carlos got me into it because he's secretly a super fan.
Yeah. I give her updates.
Cool. Cool.
On the way to San Diego yesterday, Bobby and I was getting ketamine-assisted psychotherapy for the very first time.
Didn't give her enough.
We listened to you on the whole way over there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then back after the ketamine, she was like, I can't handle this. It's too much.
Well, it was you and then Brian Eno and then ketamine. So...
How do you feel, Kalila? You're still attracted to murder, so it hasn't changed you that much.
I'm still buffering. I don't even drink coffee, and I did ketamine yesterday, and I was slammed into a K-hole. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but It was I don't want to call it bad or good, but I was fucking frightened. I thought I was dying. So I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm so excited.
But is it helpful? Like, ketamine's one of those drugs I don't even understand what it is or what it does.
So ketamine is a dissociative drug. So when it enters your system, you're kind of detached. Like, it almost feels like it's an out-of-body experience. You don't feel any pain. I wouldn't call it a full, like, hallucinogenic, because it's not like when people, like, see things when they're on mushrooms and they're euphoric. It's more like when they say K-hole, I was in the hole. I was seeing cave after cave after mossy cave, and I thought I was dying.
And was she asking you, like, and then the doctor touched you here?
I couldn't speak.
Asking you things, though?
No, I didn't even have a single linear thought. I just had so much feelings, and I was crying, and I was clutching her for 90 minutes.
You were clutching her?
So it's like, I'm gonna get into ketamine.
Are you lying on a table? Or
yeah, it's like a moon pod. You put your little eye mask on, and then the music. And I started off with high hopes, just like this. And very soon, I was in a fetal position, like clutching the therapist. But there's a doctor there as well for the whole 90 minutes. He was an ER doctor, so I felt like, oh, this is a safe experience. But even then, I thought I was dying.
Whoa, was it fun?
Yeah. Does it sound fun? Like, when it's over, do you feel better? Is it like almost like doing mushrooms? Where, like, when it's done, you feel kind of like a weight is taken off you?
It feels, I don't know yet. Like, okay. I'm still buffering. But the reason that I chose ketamine is because of its anti-anxiety and antidepressive properties. And they say, like, those can last up to a whole year.
Wait, you guys, that's so interesting. Like, you're not... I feel like you're not on
antidepressants?
No.
You do seem like a candidate. Is that okay to say?
It's because you do stand up. That's
the darkness you unleash.
Yeah, people always think that that's like a sign of something. I've had people flat out ask if I'm a psychopath, but no.
You have a good kind of like dead face too.
Poker face, yeah. Resting bitch face.
Are you good at poker?
No, I get bored. So I just go all in really quickly.
Yeah. That's what I would do too. Yeah. Let's either end this or me get out of here.
Oh my God. Wait, have you ever done like a psychedelic or anything like that?
Yeah, I've done mushrooms. I did acid a couple times. I was at Martha's Vineyard for a summer and someone got acid. We trusted it. And like every couple of days we would do like a hit or two and like run around, jump off bridges and shit. It was fun. But at the end I was like, I don't know if I would trust it again, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the bridge would probably be the part I wouldn't trust.
Yeah. A lot of people were doing that who even weren't on drugs. And yeah. It was really fun in the middle of the night. But every couple of years, I'll do mushrooms. So, someone described it as cleaning your windshield.
Yeah.
That's why I wonder, like, if ketamine's like that it's like you feel like you've got your car washed. And you kind of have a burden lifted off of you that mushrooms can be like that. But it's been years since I've done this.
Sometimes mushrooms don't do that for me, though. It's like I either do too much or too little sometimes where it's like, I just get uncomfortable where I'm like, you kind of like start thinking about the fact that everyone around you is going to die and you're going to die and stuff. And then you don't really like go into it. And then you're just stuck with the creepy feeling of it.
Has anyone watched that show on Netflix that just came out with Michael Pollan, How to Change Your Mind?
Yeah, I've been watching it. With mescaline, psilocybin, all of that. Yeah, LSD.
It's just gotten me very curious about like these kinds of experiences, because they talk about how like what you're saying, like it just frees up your brain and opens you up and like clears you out.
Well, if you think about like anxiety, right? Think of how much of your time before you were on meds and stuff was just like spinning, when there's like, what else could you be doing if you weren't worried about like whatever?
For me, the ketamine was, now in retrospect, the correct drug of choice because it made me realize that like I have no sense of retreat or surrender. I tried to fight out of this experience the whole time. There was no minute of like relax and let go. And that says a lot about who I am. There is absolutely no surrender in who I am. And on top of that, I've never felt a single minute of safety in my life. So like those are the two downloads I've had since yesterday.
Well, those seem to go together.
So it hasn't been an easy thing. Like everyone was like, you're going to love it. I came out of there like, what the fuck were they talking about?
But don't you think you went in with an expectation and that's what you're worried about instead of just, because it's still working on you. You know it's still working on you. You look younger too.
The expectation was I'm going to need healing around this breakup and self-love. No, it did not go there. They were like, you're going to get shot up into space. It shot me straight down to hell. That's what it did.
It's so funny to me that you would want me on this podcast. That you like stepped out of academy and you were like, I hope Anthony's here.
I feel like you're the correct person.
First thing I want to see when I get out of my comforting pod. Presence,
yeah. You know, but when we talked outside, like, it does. I really, really am happy you're here today.
Good.
Yeah, I think you're the correct person to be in front of me after being in a K-hole that long.
Right.
When you got out of the pod, was it like Bobby and Jules were just right there?
They came. You know, when I got out of the pod, the first thing they handed me was a banana, and I was happy.
Oh,
like, thank you. Thank you for this banana break. But I had a question for you. What do people do in Martha's Vineyard?
I mean,
besides acid?
And there were two classes of people. It's like people who are there to work, which I was one of. People who work in the restaurant service industry, and then people who are there on vacation. And then there's people who live there, which is like a different kind of class of people. But I was 20 years old, so I couldn't go to bars. So I was kind of just stuck doing, you know, what the people who weren't going to bars were doing, which was a lot of weed and just hanging out, barbecuing. And if someone got acid, great. But it was just a really fun kind of hippie-ish time.
Were you a good waiter?
I worked in the kitchen. My friends were waiters and they made so much more money.
Yeah.
But I just got to hang out I worked on the cold line at the seafood shanty.
Oh, love seafood shanty. Love seafood shanty.
Yeah. It was a really fun summer.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're just like, yeah, I did like acid and jumped off bridges. I'm like, I don't know what to say to someone who tells, like, that's so scary.
It wasn't a very high bridge. It was like, you just like, jumped right into the water and then swam to the shore and did it again. But there were like kids doing it, you know, 20 feet away from us.
Oh, okay.
Does that change your...
I still wouldn't have done it, but I'm just like, wow.
If a kid taller than you came and did it, would you be...
That would not change.
It wouldn't change anything.
No, my niece is taller than me. I see her.
But
do you think?
Remember yesterday when you were like, I realized that it feels, or last week, sorry, that it feels good to do something that you were scared of.
Totally.
Do you think maybe bridge jumping's in your future?
No,
it's too far.
What about acid?
Oh, so go ahead.
I was going to say, what about acid in your future?
Is acid and LSD the same thing?
Yes,
mm-hmm. It is. Based on like the science that they talk about in that show, like maybe I would.
I liked acid more than mushrooms. Mushrooms kind of make you sick. Like it is a poison, a natural poison. Whereas acid, you kind of get the trip, but you don't feel that like that nauseousness that you feel on mushrooms.
Did you have like the thing that they were talking about in this documentary where like everything is like melting and like, did you have that psychedelic experience?
A little bit, but it was I didn't take that much. So it was more just like you have had this burst of energy. And things were fun, but faces would get weird. You would stare at the ocean for a long time. I remember I took a hit of acid. I got off work earlier than my other friends. It was me and this other guy took a hit of acid. We're having fun. And then when my friends got off work at night, I took another one thinking it was like beer. Like I'll have another one and I'll keep going. Mm. But I had a different trip than everyone else. And so I was kind of like really tired and just a little out of it. And my other friends were just like laughing and having fun. And I'm like waiting for this trip to end. And we go to this diner, the Black Dog Diner, I think it was called. It's like the famous, people see sweatshirts all the time. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'm finally done tripping. I'm sitting in a booth with my two friends. And this woman behind me, this old woman sitting by herself, I just kind of out of the corner of my eye see her. And she goes to take a bite of a bagel. And it looked like her jaw unhinged. And, and I was like so freaked out. I was like, nope, still tripping.
Old people when you're tripping is really hard. Mm-hmm. I remember some girl, when I used to live in Santa Fe, some girl gave me like a pill bottle filled with mushroom shake. Like it was just like little pieces of it. So I don't know why I thought if it's chopped up, it's not going to be anything.
Oh my God.
So my friends and I are at, my friend and her mom were going to meet us. And it was me and my two friends. And we sprinkled it over our pizza at this bar. And I mean, the whole thing, we're just like, whatever. And we're eating the pizza. My friend shows up with her mom and we lost our fucking minds. Like, her mom sat down. Her mom was like an older mom. She had already had wrinkles. And my friend just went, your face is made of ropes. And it was like, we got to go. We got to get the fuck out of here. I feel like I was always like the person. I was always trying to, like, if the cop showed up to a party, I was always the one like trying to manage it.
Yeah.
Trying to make the parents think everything was fine.
I'm just curious, like, do you, because the way that they make LSD sound on this show is that like it opens your mind.
You
like,
are you're such never a dork.
Same. What do you mean?
That you just watched this. This is the first time you're learning about it. You're calling it LSD. Everything you're doing is so.
Is she
Esther's,
right?
Esther's graduated fifth grade, guys. Yeah. We should have like a sixth grade dance for you. She just started smoking weed this year. We're proud of her. It is good. I'm happy for you.
I would love a sixth grade dance at the Comedy Store. Yes. I would love that. No one would dance with me.
It's just
me.
You and Benji.
I made Carlos dance with me, but he has to like go away from a girl he likes.
Now, Anthony, how were you at school dances? Would you dance or would you kind of be in the corner?
I was like everybody else where it was like guys on one side, girls on the other. And then the last slow song would play and everyone would dance. And you'd be like, oh, it's over? It's like you've had hours to do anything. And then you'd go home. Yeah, everyone.
Why does that happen? Fuck.
Because you're building up. You're finally getting there. I think it's like you warm up. You see everyone doing it. And by the time you actually, like, you know, get the courage to get out there, it's done.
I know. And it's like you're nervous. You're at the most, like, insecure time of your life when you're afraid of people looking at you. And this is the one dance where everyone is fucking looking at you. Like, if no one's dancing yet, it's like...
Did you guys have this? I've heard this is a common experience about senior year of high school, that like at the very last few weeks of it, you start to like get to know your classmates better than you ever would have. Yeah, I did that. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the last few weeks of high school, like having real conversations with people who I never really...
Well, is that because everyone's signing each other's yearbooks and like you're passing that around?
No, I think it's you're like, oh, I'm never really going to see this person again. I might as well be like, hey.
Like, you took them for granted.
All right. It's like... just like two people that never... Maybe we were in the same class, but we never like made the effort. I don't know. No one...
Where did you go to high school? What was that like for you?
I went to a public school in a suburb of Pittsburgh called Upper St. Clair. And it was like a graduating class of 300. And I went to that school from like first grade through high school.
Oh, so you've known people. So first grade through high school. So that's a K to 12. So you know kids from kindergarten that went through the whole thing?
First grade, yeah. Yeah.
I had that too.
Oh, wow. Well, what's that like?
Ask him.
It didn't seem weird. You were used to it, that the other way would have been weird. And people would the Catholic school would come into our school for high school.
Yeah.
But it was... It was normal. I don't give it a lot of thought. Anal.
Get to bang them on the butt.
It is like, I always think about that with like the comedian Lisa Traeger, who does stand up. But like, I do think like we were on the same school bus.
It's so weird.
Together, like to an elementary school.
Wait, you were?
Yeah.
But I feel like you sat up front to talk to the driver to make sure everything was safe.
Well, I was
she
always.
She was like smoking weed in the back.
I did always feel like the driver wanted to fuck me. I know that's so weird to say. And I was like 10.
It's the least weird thing you've ever said. He definitely did.
But yeah, no, like just it is. It's a different experience when you've known someone since they were
trying to fuck you
a little kid.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you still talk to the bus driver?
We text.
She's like, finally someone's trying to fuck me. Can't let him go.
Did you go to prom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah
went to prom. It was fun. I was the Students Against Drunk Driving class president.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yes.
Excuse me.
What were you, why how did that happen?
Because I was like kind of panicked about getting into college, because I fucked around all through high school, and right. Everyone's like, you're gonna regret this when it comes time to apply to schools. So senior year, I was like, well, now I've got to like do it all. And the only club, like, I tried to join all the clubs, but the only club that had its election senior year, like at the beginning of the year instead of like the end of the previous year, was SAD. And so I had all my friends, my sisters were in high school with me, and I had them bring all their friends to the meeting, and everyone's gonna vote for me. And there's three people running. And one guy gets up and he's like, I think I'd be a good president. And everyone's like, yeah, we don't even know who you are. And then a girl gets up and starts crying, talking about one of her family members getting killed by a drunk driver.
Oh,
and she really wants
to
change
shit.
It. And then I stood up and I'm like, so I've gone drinking and driving before. It's like, you know, so I know what it's like and I can help, I think, that way. And everyone's in shock, but I won by a landslide because I had stacked the audience. And okay. So my friends gave me a flask that said Upper St. Clair, Sad President.
Good. I have a question. You're obviously a very handsome man. This pretty privilege.
Oh my God, somebody's single.
This pretty privilege apply. This pretty privilege apply there. Like, you know, pretty privilege with girls and stuff. Esther, don't look at me like this is a fucking term I just made up.
Well, it just became, she just got pretty, so.
I'm honestly like, just thinking that was more like his origin story for how he became a comedian, because it's like someone went up and had this like tragic story and then you were like,
fuck it. And drinking, that
feels
school.
like the how your jokes are, right?
Kind of. I mean, I'd already planned my speech for the Sad President thing that I was like, I don't know how to ad-lib this, you know, and I was committed. It was just a kind of a funny story at the time. But so for prom, I wasn't supposed to drink at prom. Everyone was kind of looking at me. And then after prom, they had this thing called after prom. Mm-hmm. So instead of kids going off and getting wasted in a cabin somewhere, they had a thing that was at school where Dave and Buster's, where all the students went. And if you were on student council, you had to go to it or you couldn't graduate. And my girlfriend was on student council. So I had to go, and we put vodka in Gatorade bottles and pounded it right before we went in. And we'd all been up for days because it's like the end of school. You're just having fun with your friends. And so I just went to sleep on a table. And the parents thought I was like passed out drunk, which I kind of was, but I was also very tired. And they picked me up and carried me around and made me walk in a circle for hours of after prom. Like, I'm just like I don't barely remember.
And he never let anyone have control over him again.
I was angry about that.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
You guys, life can be overwhelming and many people are burned out with that. They don't even know it.
I know it. I'm very aware of how burnt out I am.
Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment fatigue, and more. I know I have felt all of these things. And when you don't know what's going on in your head and you're just so overwhelmed, it's hard to get out of your loop or your cycle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need like someone else to look at your life and listen to you, and in order to like snap out of whatever you're dealing with.
For me, therapy has been an indispensable part of my life because I had someone help me name it so I could claim it and then change it. And I honestly, like, it's as simple as that.
That's your win.
Yeah, simple as someone, an unbiased ear, being like, okay, let me help you name that thing that you're feeling so you can claim it, so you know you're not afraid of this thing that you're feeling. And then, you know, change it if it needs to be changed.
And you know, we associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out. And BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself.
Yeah.
Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours from right now.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Trash Tuesday listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/trashtuesday. That's betterhelp.com/trashtuesday. As president of Students Against Drunk Driving, like, what do you organize? Like, what do you do?
I wasn't there very long. Like, I didn't go to a lot of meetings. they wanted to do lock-ins, so they called it, where you would go to the high school and they'd have bands play, like high school bands would play, and kids would come. So it was like, keep kids off the streets and drinking and just hang out. But I don't know if we ever did it.
I was really traumatized at our lock-in. Have I ever told you?
What is a lock-in?
Oh my God. Can I just, wait. Esther, all she wants is sleepovers. Like, she's so full of shit. She wants people to invite her to things that she can say no to, is what it is. Because you finally got your school sleepover. What happened?
No, it's so bad. Okay. Oh, God.
Just be yourself.
Okay. So basically what happened was, have I ever told you guys about the sex tape I made in high school?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So.
Well, maybe you haven't told him.
It was with the bus driver, Anthony, if you want.
He wishes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Listen, bus driver.
Okay, so just like bringing
the bus driver
speed.
That got away, that drove away, the one that drove away.
So my freshman year of high school, before school started, there was like a football game. And I was on Viquettes, you know, Palms. And so only freshman year. And I went to the football
game. What is the Viquettes? I was on Vicodin. We had different high school experiences.
So I met these two girls at a football game, and like we just met, and one of us, I don't really remember who said it, but was like, we should have a sleepover. And like, so we asked our parents and we got to have a sleepover. And then like, that's like the night where like we made this like sex tape, whatever. I don't need to get into the
details. With two girls with you made girls. A sex tape?
Yeah.
This is the first one, you're not the second
surprised?
One.
At that?
Annie, remember there are multiple sex tapes. This was the first one. Right.
It's just so sad how hard you tried to be like
how hard hot. I tried to be hot.
I just didn't want it.
But so anyways, sorry, I really didn't mean to do this. Okay, so anyways, sex tape happens. The next day happens to be the lock-in.
I feel like you skipped a step. Like, so we had a sleepover. Sex tape happens.
Yeah, like, what's going on? So the three of you, what?
We have to say that for another time. I it's child porn. No. You guys are, this is...
I'm into it.
That's his thing. That's why we invited him.
But anyways, what happens is at the lock-in, I'm like, oh my God, like we just all did this. Like we're fucking so close now. They didn't hang out with me at the lock-in. It was really traumatic.
And were you pounding on the door? Let me out.
Why
did you cry?
Why do you think? What move did you run it back in your head, like, what did I do wrong? What did I
think
I say?
They had like more friends at the lock-in that they were excited about. Like to them, like the sleepover sex tape night was just like another night.
What happened in the sex tape?
Esther, you were used.
I was used.
Finally. I understand you so much better now.
Wait, Esther, no. What happened with the, how did it start?
Who had the fingered camcorder? Who is the question.
Who, this isn't like, we didn't have iPhones back in the day. This like you had to get like a.
No, yeah, there was a camcorder. She pulled out a camcorder.
She did.
I don't want to, and this is just getting too traumatic. And Anthony, our coworker, is here at the Comedy Store.
What are your thoughts?
She's a bad storyteller.
She left out like the only good part.
It's and, like, you're like, did I ever tell you guys about the sex tape? Well, I'm going to leave out the sex tape, but tell you the rest of it.
The rejection around it, because that's all that matters to her.
It's true.
She's in it for the beating afterwards.
Yeah, for them.
Did you make your mommy come pick you up? You were like, mommy, I made a sexy tape with them and now they don't like me. Do you think maybe it was like they didn't like what they saw? Once they saw you naked, they're like, ew, not as good as I thought. Yikes. Ew.
I want to go home.
Did you have a big bush then too?
Oh my God, Annie.
But did you?
No, it wasn't that bad then.
Do you know Bobby said he didn't get his first pube until he was 16?
Until he was 50 years old.
And then it fell off, but then he felt very attached to it,
It escaped. It was trying to get away from Bobby.
So he saved it, and then I guess his mom accidentally vacuumed it, and he was really upset about it because that was the only, like, that was his only evidence of, like, you know, manhood finally, like, setting in. That was a story he
he's
told
gonna be, well, he's going to be, well, I'm going to tell you, he's going to be real upset when someone vacuums you up. He's going to be real upset. You're about to get vacuumed up, girl. I love that you guys had, like, high school. It's so fun.
It was recently brought to my attention because it's only building what's going on out there about us. It's only growing. Someone sent me a link to a clip. There's, like, these two guys that, like, make fun of stuff, and they refer to me casually as the girl that does nothing. And I was like, Dave, come in here. You have to hear what they're calling me, the girl who does nothing. And he's like, why are you happy about that?
Because finally people get your brand.
I know. You've, I was like, this is years. So cute. I love it.
Anthony, did you want us to do like games or something?
I just thought there would be some sort of structure or a plan.
You've never like, watched a full episode. That's why the clips are good.
I don't watch any podcasts.
I honestly wouldn't expect it. I think it would be weird if we're like, oh. Now, Anthony, you are a teeth grinder.
Yes.
Did you ever hit up Mary Lou?
Not yet.
She'll get you.
Do you grind in your sleep or just constantly?
In my sleep. I can't relax and sleep unless my teeth are completely clenched.
What?
It's sore. I get so Botox in my jaw every 3 months. I've got like these, I've got two, what do you call them?
Mouth guards.
Yeah. So they're like, I can keep them forever because they rub together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't bite down too hard. But if I went to sleep without them, I would wake up in pain.
That's what happened. I fell asleep without mine last night. I smoked too much weed, and I fell asleep without my mouth guard, and my jaw is so fucking sore today.
I have a question. When you do, I did the Botox in the jaw because my TMJ got really bad last year, and I was like, oh, I'll just try this. But it completely changed the way I smiled. Like I had a limit to how my smile. Yeah, it would stop right here, and I couldn't smile fully, so I never got it again. But it worked with the pain.
I noticed the smile is the same for me, but my jaw, it changed the shape of my jaw because it's from grinding so much. These muscles got bigger.
That's
and the Botox took them down. But since I have the beard, it wasn't that noticeable. My face looks thinner.
But do you wish you still had the stronger jaw?
No.
No.
So the Botox actually works.
It helps. It's like nothing stops it. I was looking for that magic thing. Like I've gotten these crazy massages and all kinds of different stuff to try to take it away, but it just kind of mitigates it. You know, I work out almost every day just to stretch and try to take this like the tension out because it goes all the way through my body.
Yeah, but it's like whatever your like subconscious is gnawing at is the thing. Something subconsciously that you're...
I think it's muscle memory. Like I used to do it when I was younger, but it would like, I would go on and off.
Do you remember when you started doing it? Was there any event in your life that happened?
I remember I would do it like in college, you know, people would say like, oh, you're in your sleep, you're grinding your teeth a little bit, but I didn't feel it. And then I got to the point after college that I got a mouth guard and then I just stopped. The mouth guard would fall out in my sleep because I wasn't doing it. And then right before I did the Donald Trump roast, when I found out I was going to do that, I was like, this is my big break. I started doing it a lot. And I thought, okay, well, let me get a mouth guard now. And then after it, it'll go away. And then after the Trump roast, when all the stress was gone, I kept doing it.
Yeah.
And I've done it every day since. It's been like 13, 14 years now.
You got it.
I do it every night.
Trump mandinorial joint problem. Because it's from Trump TMJ. Okay, guys.
Funny.
I got to know.
No, I think it's like muscle memory now. And like my teeth are so, I've ground them down so much that I feel like I'm trying to fit them together.
Yeah.
You know, to what my teeth used to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what'll happen, but it's like it's the pebble in my shoe. It sucks.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand it. Yeah, you get the like inside massages where they like go in. They it put hurts the like glove hell. On.
Yeah,
I love that.
I know.
Someone puts
like,
on some gloves and puts their fucking hands in my mouth. I'm like,
where else do you like it when they put their hands?
Butt.
In your butt.
Have you guys ever done salvia?
No, I never did, but those videos of salvia are the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Why?
A friend had me do it. It's like you take it, you hit it like it's weed, and then you like go to another planet for like 30 seconds. It's
but
not
you
long.
Look like shit.
You look like
while you're
shit.
On the other
where
like, you
I like came out of shit. It and I felt great. I was like, oh my God, this is like, it was like cleaning your windshield.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'd try it again. And then I watched the video of someone on it. And I was like, I'll never do this again.
Wait, why? What do you mean you look like shit?
You're just
like
drool.
Like you look like, pull up a video. It's like, it's dark. It's dark.
You're gone.
But I've done ayahuasca and everyone's always like worried about other people looking at you. You're not like, it's not, you're there, but you're not like seeing it. And then the guides take a little ayahuasca too. So there's never like a sober person. It's like, you look like shit.
How long does a trip last, you say?
Like, it seems like it's one of those, like you feel like you're in a dream.
Yeah.
But it's literally like 45, maybe a minute, 45 seconds a minute.
Yeah.
But I never did it again.
You should try.
You never did it again. How did you stop yourself from doing it again?
I mean, it's not that pleasant. You don't feel like I want to do this now. It's more an experience than like it's not like getting high where you're just like, I want to get high and watch a movie. It was like it was kind of tough that I did it once. A friend brought it over. And I remember coming out of the trip, my friend was just had a huge smile on her face, just like, and I was like, oh, you just watched me be real weird.
Yeah, but maybe that's what you need to break is that self-consciousness. Maybe that's the thing that would release you.
I like my self-consciousness. I feel like more people should be self-conscious.
Yes,
I
agree.
I agree with that, but also like Duncan Trussell posted the best meme once and it was like, you know, like a spiritual being speaking to like an audience.
Yeah.
And it said, once I realized I was cringe, I was free of being cringe or something. Like there is something where it's like when you're so conscious of what's cringe.
Yeah.
I think that you could totally go too far with self-consciousness. There's no doubt about that. But I do think there's like a...
Rein it in a little.
A good amount. I like that. I've never heard like a pro self-conscious take, but I'm actually like, yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, people are looking at us. I mean, we are people that people... We stand and people look at us, so it's not...
Well, that
more so than other people.
There's also that. That's true. But like...
Well, sometimes when Esther's on stage, people are...
People are not looking. They're like, where is she?
Like, where's this I hear someone. They see Brad Williams walk past you taller than you. Oh, Brad. How pissed would Brad be if they passed another little person?
At the store?
Can you imagine?
It would be a rivalry. It would be fun.
I would love it. And put a bright, like, start giving them, like, the Brad spots and just put Brad a little later. See what happens. Just a little, like, two people later.
Oh, that's what they did with Asians for so long. The scarcity mentality. That's why Asian Bobby is who he is. It's because he hated Ken Jeong and Dat Phan and all these guys because of scarcity mentality. It's like, there can only be one of us. Guess I got to fight you to the death, you know?
So fucked
Well, I guess
up.
They did that with like female comics a little bit. I never...
Definitely.
I never looked the same as any of them. It never like felt the same. Like I was just like next to you.
I had a female Asian comic open for me in Vancouver and she was great. And I was like, oh, like, what are you... Like, you're so funny. What are you going to do? And she's like, nothing. Like, my career is over. Ali Wong blew up. And it's over for me. And I was like, that's a weird way to think about it. And she's like, no, it's how it is. I got to find something else to do.
She's wrong. That's wrong. That's scarcity mentality. That's actually like, winning.
I think I might know her. Was it at, does she have kids?
No.
This girl actually wasn't. And you know what? This girl actually wasn't. She never seemed like she, like I remember talking to her. She's like, no, it's just fine. I just like to do these gigs here and there. I'm like, really? I can't imagine doing comedy like. Casually.
Yeah.
Seems someone so could literally take my name and like get plastic surgery to look like me and like become I would never stop. Like,
did you guys see the plastic surgery in the comedy community this week?
No.
No.
This is hot goss. Chris D'Elia got a nose job.
Shut up. Shut up.
What? He did?
How is that possible? What are you talking about?
How do you know this?
Todd told me.
Was it to look like me? Did I manifest?
I don't know if they can put that much more on his nose to make him...
Wait.
He got, like he said, it was deviated septum, but it's a little... It's still swollen.
Why would you get married and then get a nose job?
I don't know, Anthony. Why do you think?
Like...
It's his deviated septum.
I would believe it's deviated septum because he's on a podcast. Like, I think if you got a nose job, you would...
hide it.
You would hide it a little better.
Not in LA. I feel like everyone almost, like, sports that thing around. Like... Look, LA is such a weird place. Like everywhere I go, there's always someone with those bandages under their nose.
But in comedy, I don't know.
Like, do you remember giving like your first blowjobs and like you tried to like not make sound? I remember trying to be like so self-conscious, like may as well have been at a school dance because I was. I was a main teacher. No. But like, I just couldn't, like I didn't want to make any sound. I like wanted to be like really like chill about it. It just ended up being like, napkin. I was like, and my fork. But just trying. And then I like watched porn and I was like, oh, I went the opposite direction. You're supposed to like, pretend to choke. Have you ever puked on a dick, Esther?
No, I haven't. But I'm not really a thrower upper in general.
Throwing your dad, you're a constipation girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Felt like an anal joke.
I know.
Just getting packed up there.
This does have like a sleepover vibe to it that I feel like I'm like peeking in a door.
We got you here.
It's time to chat about liquid death. You know, why is it called liquid death?
Because it's death to plastic, Esther.
And 10% of the profits from every can sold are donated to help kill plastic pollution.
You guys, water in aluminum cans is the future. It tastes delicious. And Liquid Death has 3 new flavors. Esther has a severed lime. Annie has the, what's it called? Mango.
Chainsaw.
Mango chainsaw. And I have the buried alive.
I love the lime and so much.
I don't drink. You don't drink, right? Do any of us drink?
No.
Hardly.
It's like we get to look cool at parties.
We
and
look
still
like
stay hydrated.
We're drinking beer. Also, I make mocktails at home with this. I do a little cranberry juice. It's so good.
And if you're anything like me and you're in a social situation, I'm like, I never know what to do with my hands. This is the perfect solution to
that. Actually not kidding. When I first got sober, that was such a big thing for me because you don't realize how much you're using a drink to get you through an awkward social
situation.
Like the sip of it. I remember accidentally grabbing Cape Cods before and like I had like drank alcohol accidentally because it's like you don't have the right thing to grab.
Well, can I say the right thing for me that may seem so basic and cheesy, but like it makes drinking water fun, and then that makes me drink more water. And then that makes me prettier.
Mm-hmm. Should I put myself in a fucking can so you do what I want?
Guys, it makes you pretty to hydrate. So get on it. Liquid Death, water and aluminum, death to plastic. Do it today.
Get free shipping on all water and merch at liquiddeath.com/trash. That's liquiddeath.com/trash. Or you can find Liquid Death at 7-Eleven, Target, Albertsons, Safeway, or Amazon. But liquiddeath.com/trash. Marin gave me advice when I met him, and he was like, I met him like the first week I was doing comedy at the Comedy Store, and he was just like, get out of here, don't come here. He was like, go to UCB. He's like, get away from the Comedy Store.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. He got me passed. He was like, you want an audition?
He told me to leave.
Yeah, people hang out at the store too early. They hang out at clubs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not going to, like, you don't want to be known as the person mm-hmm. who hangs out. You want to be the funny person yeah. that they can't wait to get in.
Yeah.
That's not bad advice.
So maybe you should go to UCB.
No, he gave me good advice because at the time, the store was literally garbage and like so shitty and no one should have been there. And the UCB was like the coolest place to be. But I just had a darkness.
And look at that now. Look at where it is now. It's nowhere, right? Isn't it used to be completely closed?
Yeah.
I think they're opening it back up. I don't know. It's not going to be the same. I forget who bought it.
Well, you look at those people too. And those people are still doing well in acting and stuff, like the sort of more UCB comics, I feel like. But a lot of people that I thought were going to be like the big comics are like no more.
I remember that was the first time I met you, was at the Comedy Cellar. I met you doing your podcast. Do you remember the first time we met?
I'm hoping you don't remember.
Oh, no.
The first time I remember meeting you.
I'm really hoping
you Last Comic Standing.
Oh, with Norm?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Were you a judge?
I know, I was the host.
Oh, the host.
And it was like the first night, and I'm like, and I realize it's a mistake almost immediately. That I've done this and I'm pissed. I'm in a bad mood.
I forgot you were the host.
And they're like, we want you to go in and talk to the comics. You know, it was like, there was like four nights of the preliminaries where it's like, these people now go on and it becomes a competition. But they're like, come in and talk to a room full of people. And I'm mad I'm doing it. I'm mad I got to do this. I've got like, I'm trying to remember my lines in the script. And I'm like, I walk in and I have no plan of what I'm going to say to everyone. So I'm kind of just like, guys, don't shake my hand on stage. Like, I'm just almost like yelling at people. And I walk in angry, nervous. And Esther goes, and she's sitting on like in a chair on the floor next to me. And she goes, and I'm like, any questions? And Esther goes, Anthony, will you get me pregnant?
Oh, you used to be so funny.
And I wanted to
murder. What happened to that, Esther? What happened to the little rape joke, Esther?
Why did you want to kill me? Wait, that's so... Oh my God, I can't believe I said that.
I was just mad that anyone would even talk to me. I was so mad I was there. And anyone trying to joke around with me, I was pissed.
I don't remember saying that. So that's at least
but we can all see it.
But 100%, I'm sure. When you say it, I'm like, of course I did that. I remember... I will say this, like... Because it's so easy to have to be cheesy in that role of being the host. And I do, you never were like cheesy or betrayed yourself. Like you were very, like you were cool. It was, you were in character as yourself. Like you stayed true to yourself. So at least I have that to say. I remember that was when I first met Miss Pat. And she was like, she was like talking about how she wanted to beat the shit out of me. She was like, if you were my child, and telling me like how she wanted to hit me. And I was like, thank you, Miss Pat. But do you remember what happened with Norm MacDonald? How he was like really nasty to me?
He was nasty to a lot of people.
Okay.
I mean, do you like Norm and I would fight. Fight on camera.
Really?
And after every episode, we would meet up and he'd be like, well, it's going to be great television. Because it was like, they're like, you guys need to talk this out. Because he would be so mean. Yeah. And the audience was like, what? And so I would come back at Norm, try to get the audience back. And then he was getting mad about me coming back at him. None of the judges were thought the host was going to be mean to them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm on the comic side.
Yeah.
I'm going to be mean to you. And it was so uncomfortable, the whole thing.
Well, that was why I felt so tricked, because the producers were like, hey, we're doing this differently. It's not like Simon Cowell vibes. Like, everyone's a comic here. We're going to be really, it's all positive, constructive. So everyone was going in like, we're not expecting a fight. And then when Norm would like suddenly say rude shit, I reacted honestly in the moment. I was like, I'm not taking this. So yeah, that is my memory of it.
But you guys
too.
Fought a lot?
Yeah.
Did he lose that fight too?
I took the job because I wanted to work with Norm. So they were like, Norm's not happy with you. And I'm like, I'm not happy with him. I don't know what's going on here. It was so, he was so
mean. A little bit like.
But in a weird way.
Wasn't he always like, you couldn't tell if he was doing a bit or not? That's how I always felt when I mean,
the bits didn't make sense. It wasn't a bit. It was like he was pontificating about things. And female comics especially got it rough.
Yeah.
And it didn't make, he would love someone and hate someone else. And it didn't make, there was no rhyme or reason that it was just awkward and weird. And he would go on for a long time.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to kind of, not roast him, but I had to kind of take control of the show. Yeah. Otherwise it was like the Norm hour. And I think Roseanne and Keenan were like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Like, what's Norm talking about?
Yeah, but
it was real weird.
When Roseanne's going, is this guy crazy? You know, there's an issue.
I remember he said something like, calling me like the biggest disappointment of his night, and I was like,
that's so daddy too. It's like, why are you like, I can't disappoint you.
I know. I think I said something like, you're my dad's favorite comic, or like, I don't know. It was just so awkward. It was so weird. And then afterwards I was freaking out.
I had to comfort, like, there were people crying afterwards, and I'd be like, don't let them see you cry. Like, fuck Last Comic Standing. Like, I'm the best comic in a three-mile radius, and I wouldn't make it 3 minutes on this show. Like,
that's
why
so
was
nice
anyone upset?
Of you.
I was just, I hated the process so much.
I know,
so
you are
much.
Nice to comics.
Yeah, well, for the most part.
Yeah.
There was one girl, I remember, this girl got introduced by her father. Like, I introduced everyone, but this one, they're like, her dad's here. They were like an Indian family, and the dad came out and with like a heavy accent and was like, I'm so proud of my daughter. And she walks out in like a really nice dress, does 3 minutes. And then Norm says, I go, Norm, what do you think? And Norm goes, what the hell's going on here? I was told I'd be here to judge the 100 funniest people in the country. I don't think you're one of the 100 funniest people in this room. And I lost it so hard. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. Like, her dad's right there. He knows the dad's there.
It is so funny to be mean to someone in front of their parents. Mm-hmm. It's actually nice. It's like, they'll fix this.
He could be funny. And if it was funny, great. But there were a lot of times he wasn't being funny. It was just like, why are you being so mean to this like hack comic who you can just dismiss and be like, yeah, not my thing, you know?
Well, he always said he didn't like female comedians, right? Didn't he say he didn't think women were funny?
Yeah.
That is so fucking annoying.
Yeah, he had he had some opinions that
it's like, what?
Were frowned
like, how
upon.
Are we doing this?
Yes, it's banana break time. Are you a banana fan?
I mean, sure. Like, I'm
do
a
fan. Well, are you a comment reader, or just was there were so many comments that you can't, I mean, you can't ignore it when you're getting like inundated.
I read them. I peruse them because they all become the same. Mm-hmm. All the negative ones are the same. All the positive ones are the same. But occasionally there's one that's like my parents' address. And I'm like, let me take that one down.
Yeah.
But I see things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm aware of what's going on. But yeah, they all are. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Speaking of comments, I saw on Reddit. I'll occasionally glance this one.
Ooh, that's a real cutting moment.
This one really caught my eye, but there's someone on Reddit who's comparing you to Tony Hinchcliffe. And I'm like, is there something there? Like,
they're calling me skinny?
Because I'm like, I don't know if you know this fact about me, but I dated Tony a long, long time ago.
He already said he regretted coming on the show. You're giving him more reason.
But I'm like, is there something about me being drawn to you and Tony that...
I mean, what? How could I be like Tony Hinchcliffe? In what way could I be like Tony?
That I'm attracted to you.
Oh. I just start saying the C word. I love Asians.
When I first met you, I think Bobby and I must have been pacing around the house for a good like hour before, just because he like builds these things in my head where he's like, you know, he's this way and he's that way and he's this way. And you couldn't have been more different than what he...
What did he say?
You know, like Bobby has like a healthy fear of people with principle. Like, and you are a person who is like... principled, like things like, you know, you're in comedy, it's the wild wild west, and there are few people who really sort of like know who they are, and you're like, you know what, there is right from wrong, I'm not gonna play this fucking wild wild west game. And he views you as that because he plays in the wild wild west. So he kind of felt like, oh god, like I'm gonna get a talking to, basically.
But you were the one that brought up the Megan Gailey thing,
Megan Gailey stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that what I was. I brought her up, and I forgot about that they had any kind of issue. at all.
Yeah. But that worked out because Megan came on our show and then Bobby bought her like a flat screen TV. he spent $3,000 on all of these gifts to give her. Like every 10 minutes of that show, he was like, here's another gift. Because he was so embarrassed about how he conducted himself. And the reason that he even came to that reckoning was because you basically put him in his place. You were an asshole to her.
What did he do to her again? He like kicked her out of the green room or something?
He did
power moves.
He was like, I don't like what you're wearing on stage.
Oh, that's
it's my
so
show.
Fucked up.
And that's the most fucked up thing to say. That's so fucked up. And I
it's
love her.
It's so funny though.
Why would he do that?
Because I've he's a fucking, like, the, yeah.
I mean, she wasn't like a ball gown or something, right? Like
that
was kind of
attention. I feel like I might have been
but
like.
But she's the MC. Like who gives a shit? Like yeah. maybe yeah. be annoyed, but to open yourself up to be like, this upsets me. It's clear. I think he was upset about other things.
His set wasn't so good, and then he wanted to be like, it must have been the dress. No,
I think his set's always good, but I think before shows, he thinks the worst.
Yeah. You know?
Is there nothing that enrages you more than when people ask a question and then 10 minutes after, when you don't answer the question right away, text you like 20 question marks?
Oh, I never will talk to them again.
No,
I appreciate
it. No one does that to me. I kind of know what you mean, but no one...
They wouldn't dare is why.
Yeah, that's a block.
But you don't care if people don't like you. You've just never cared.
I try to do things, and if I'm going to be mean, I try to do it in a very concise way that it's like, you kind of have to laugh and respect it, but I'm not, I've said some like really mean stuff, but it's like I've got to give you some rope. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a comic who just kept giving me advice. This is like a couple months ago. Just kept being like, oh, you should do this as a podcast. You should do this. And I'm like trying to be polite for as long as I can. And finally, I'm like, if I need any more career advice, I'll let you know. And the room laughed. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. And everyone was like, that was really funny. I'm like, I wasn't trying to be mean, but he like didn't give me any choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to shoot people down sometimes.
How do you have like that confidence and self-worth and stuff to be like, yeah, if someone sent me those question marks, I'd block them. Like, where does that come from? That you're like, you just do know yourself so well? Or like, what is that?
Combination of things. Maybe I just get away with it. But if you're willing to accept the consequences and you don't let it bother you, then you can kind of do anything.
Yeah. I am so afraid of blocking people. Like, I'm just, there's something about that. I just have like this big hump with it. Like, I'm so afraid that, I don't know, like I'll miss an emergency or like I will have done something so bad. But I want so badly to be that person that's just like, no, you're out.
Even if you block someone, if they need to get a hold of you, they can still find a way to get a hold of you.
But see, I'll block on Twitter. I mute on Twitter because I don't want them to have the satisfaction of knowing they're blocked, unless I want them to know. I think Owen Benjamin years ago, I was like, I want you to know that I like dislike you and I'm blocking you. But on texts, I want to know what's coming.
Yeah.
If some crazy person is like blowing up my phone, I want to know if they're about to show up at the show. You know, that I wouldn't block that, but I wouldn't respond.
Okay.
I'll leave you on red.
Leaving on red is the power move.
Oof.
I don't block. I've unfollowed a lot of people that I see a lot. That feels good.
That is because like, don't they just like evaporate from your consciousness altogether?
You know what's a fun move is if someone's texting you, write back like, oh my God, I'm fucking dealing with so-and-so, somebody we're talking about, and they're so fucking annoying. Send it to them and then write back, sorry, that was for someone else. That's a brutal move.
Wait, about
that's so
so
funny.
If it was me,
if you're texting me a bunch, I'll just write back, oh, Esther's being so fucking annoying right now, and then write back, oh, sorry, that was for someone else. That'll fuck your whole week up.
All right, that I'm into that.
Well, I feel like I sometimes, when people are, like there was this one girl that I unfollowed, she was bothering me, she wanted me to do a voice on her cartoon, and she's like, not a thing, like, someone drew her a cartoon, it's like nothing. I was like, I don't want to be on your cartoon. So I just ignored her, and then she was complaining to my friend, like, oh, Annie's like not responding to me or whatever. So when I see her next time, I'm going to go, why do you think I'm not responding to you? And see if she can come up with it. Because it's like, if you've contacted me 3 times in a row and it's you asking me to do something for you, you've not offered me anything, there's no exchange, I will never talk to you again.
See, Tiffany Haddish is so good at this. When I was doing a show with her and someone's like, hey, Tiffany, can we get you doing a quick video? And she goes, I get paid a lot of money to make movies. And it's like, it's just like she's staying with a smile. They're enjoying the conversation. There's mm-hmm. no like, she's not like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's a boundary.
I like to say, of course, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. It, like, oh, that is good.
It
yeah.
gives you an out. Like, no one's mad. And it's so easy.
Okay, wait. I love that so much. That's like what I'm seeking in life. I know this sounds weird, but someone who, when I ask them something, that they'll say, of course, I'm not going to do that. Because it's so it makes me feel so secure that you're never going to do something that you don't want to do for mm-hmm. me.
If you're maybe, yeah. you know, let me think about it. Like, don't do that. Just say, of course, I'm not going to do that. That's great.
I think that's the freedom. When I look at you, there's a freedom that I don't need to speculate about where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had someone ask me, they're like, do you hate me? And I'm like, do you know people I hate? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, do they have to ask me if I hate them? And they're like, you're right. I'll let you know.
I'm so inspired. I want to be like this. I just like it so much. I don't know. I feel like there's something in me that can, it's in okay. there.
I can right. learn so much from you because I've just been a chronic people pleaser my whole life and super codependent. Yeah. And I have a problem telling people or just rocking the boat in general. So I feel like you are the perfect person after a ketamine yeah. hole.
You have to just own it and not regret it. And if so, that way you get a reputation where someone's like, oh, he was such a fucking dick. Like, that's just Anthony. You know, yeah. like, don't, he just roasts people. It's fine. Well, yeah. No one can get that mad.
I'm glad you're saying that because it is reminding me of what we learned about you and how you are a people pleaser and it's hard for you to say no. And like, I would literally get off on hearing you say to me, of course I'm not doing that. I would right. love for you to say that to me.
In my ketamine journey yesterday, do you know what I found out I was asking? This is how codependent I was. In my own fucking, as I'm seeing mossy cave after mossy cave, apparently I was repeating this. Is everyone okay? Are you okay? I was saying the therapist's name. Are you okay? I'm worried about you. Hey, is everyone okay? I'm like, the fuck? That's some like deep-rooted shit.
But that's exactly what needs to be happening because you have to get through that. You have to keep doing that until you stop doing it.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
I want to get to the point where I'm like, I don't care who's okay and who's not okay.
How about,
I'm okay in this moment.
Why don't we do a challenge?
I want that for you.
Why don't
you.
We do a challenge, maybe a blocking challenge challenge. Respond right away with an honest opinion for a week?
Yeah, yeah.
Challenge?
But see, the other side of that is that I can be very cutting. And my truth, the way I feel inside, is oftentimes not what people can handle. And people see me as this like very complacent, placating type of person, but if you're asking for that, it can get ugly real fast because my feelings, the deep burning feelings in my chest, aren't pretty.
Oh no, she's just gonna be like, Esther, you're ugly. Esther, you're when way she was too saying, ugly for me.
When she was saying that she was like in the pod and she's like, you know what I was thinking? Were you like, was it about me? Were you hoping she was gonna say like, I thought about you?
But yes, you are goals. So, you are my goals. I'm going to put you in my vision board as somebody who has very firm boundaries and who is principled and is, you know, very, we can rely on you for the truth. So mm-hmm. I want to be that person
for other people. Of course I'm not doing that.
Of course I'm not going to do that. Awesome. Well, my new favorite is the guy at the comedy store, the photographer at the comedy store will be like, hey, can I get you to do some poses in the bathroom? And I go, I don't have time for your bullshit tonight. And he laughs. He's like, all right, cool. Got it. And it's like, it's not awkward. It's just like.
There's no guessing
game. What's up, Van?
Yeah.
Van's a slug. He watches. What's up, Van? Van is doing great. But if he puts one of those fucking dots on my picture, I will black my name off the wall.
What's
I
the
will
dot? Bring,
what do you mean?
He hasn't done it in a while, but every once in a while, he'll put like, add like these dots onto the pictures and I find it unacceptable.
They're like little bubbles, like white. Yeah. I didn't notice them for the longest time and someone pointed them out.
I saw it on Tony Baker. I'm like, leave Tony Baker alone, all right?
He's it's not Van who asked me to pose, but it's the other guy, the guy with the beard.
Oh, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt? Yeah. Matt, do you watch? Yeah, they're both good though. The Comedy Store photographers are good. My favorite though
and a
is,
shout out to your girlfriend, Liz, who's seriously
Liz
freaking
is so
amazing.
Good.
Thank you.
Amazing.
We got to get her to the Comedy Store. Can we get her
I know,
there?
I'm trying.
Really?
I'll help too.
Yeah.
I want her there.
It's the thing now where they're like, yeah, we want you. And then no one ends up getting in touch. And she's right. like, what's going on? They're like, oh, they haven't gotten in touch yet. We'll talk to someone. But like the Shore brother or whatever was like, yeah, let's get her number and get her in here. So hopefully something works out.
Yeah, because she's at the Laugh Factory mostly. And then at Largo.
She left the Laugh Factory. Oh, she's at the Improv now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, she is?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that your dog has more followers on Instagram than you. Is that true? Mm-hmm.
I just started an Instagram like a month ago, and I've got two posts, and I'm about to hand it over to a social media guy that I just kind of did it to. That's like the future is Instagram and TikTok, and I've always avoided that stuff. But I started the accounts, but I made one for my dog when I got him a couple years ago. And he's got like almost 10,000 followers. But that's like my passion. Like I love the dog Instagram. I hate, and I've learned that if I'm in the picture with the dog, it gets way more likes. I've been doing more of those. But
does that make you feel good when you're like, you need me, dog?
I think that mm-hmm. should be your main Instagram account then. Like that's... it should just be like you sometimes use your dog's account to promote stuff.
I thought about that. If I was just using it for like fun, I would do that. But if I'm gonna sell tickets, I might as well have it under my name.
Yeah.
You should just bring the dog with you. Go full female comic.
He's too big.
He's a big one.
Oh.
So cute. Wait. I like the name of your Largo show. It's funny.
Jezelnik and Enemies.
Yeah. It is funny though. Everyone's like, is Jezelnik, does he hate me? Is he thinking talking shit on me? And you're just like posting pictures of your dog. Oh.
Do you have other tips for like, I'm trying to have a self-worth summer, like how to build your self-worth so that you say no to people and like have boundaries?
I just, when I really hate something, I think like, why did I say yes to this? And now I've learned, like I just got offered to do a New Year's Eve gig that sounded like something sounded great, some things didn't. I was like, you know what? I guarantee come New Year's Eve, I'm gonna be like, why did I do this? I don't wanna be getting on this plane right now. And so I just said no well in advance. That just when you don't like something, think like, why didn't I say no? And then you just start saying no to things.
Yeah.
Like I turned down most podcast appearances. I was interested to see what this would be like.
Would you come back? Hmm? Would you come back?
Sure. It's not that far away. Like I like you guys. I thought this was interesting.
I feel like this isn't a healthy feeling, but I feel like you're one of my papas of comedy because you talked to me when I was an open micer. So I seek your approval, but I
mean, you scheduled an appointment. It wasn't like you just walked up.
What's that?
You scheduled an appointment.
No, I know. You and you like followed through and you showed up.
It sounds like I sexually harassed you at work. So thank you for forgiving me.
I remember I left that night and I was talking to a friend of mine. And I was like, do you know Esther Pavitsky? She said, and they go, before you say anything, she's a friend of mine. And I was like, oh, I'm not saying anything bad. Like,
who was it?
I forget. I forget.
Esther needs to know who this friend is.
No, it's that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you for that moment, though. That is a very like strong Esther move.
To ask him to get me pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very on brand.
It's very on brand.
Well, you're tall. Like, you have like the right opposing things for my genetics that would...
I like how you're justifying this like you were seriously trying to get him pregnant.
like
you weren't just making a joke. Like, no, I talked to my dad about it. And he's here. He's going to introduce me.
I don't make jokes. I just say things that sometimes are funny.
I do feel like I met you, like you, when I first met you, you were like already kind of blowing up. You had already had your MTV.
Unpicked Up Pilot.
Your Unpicked Up Pilot. But that was a big deal for the level that all of us were at that point. And then you were like, I think just getting into acting and stuff. So you were being, like, I think, more, like, behaved. You weren't as, like, tits out. You were on the end of your tits out phase.
I don't know. I think I've always been, like, silly and stuff. But I definitely had periods of time in this career or whatever, like, my adulthood, where I've been more shy and not fully myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is something that, like, discovering weed has been helpful with. That I think that's why I'm so curious about, like, all the other kinds of psychedelic stuff, because I feel like a part of me got lost in whatever it is, like the pressures of work mm-hmm. and stuff. But I think that's happens to everyone. Like you get older and you like the world tells you to shut up or this and that, and then you like dim yourself or whatever.
Well, also you just naturally like settle into yourself, and maybe the things that were like activating you before aren't. I watch a lot of reality TV, and I've watched the MTV's challenge since it started. Theo has to talk about it. Why does he never talk about it? Have you ever tried to talk to him about it?
He was on Road
Rules. Doesn't like talking about it. Doesn't like being brought up. I get the Road Rules part of it because he wants to be known as a comedian. But the challenge, he was only, I didn't even watch the season.
Yeah.
But I got into it during the pandemic and was like so all about good. It. Yeah. I haven't watched the last season or two.
Well,
I watched the first two seasons of All Stars.
I'm very happy to know you like it. It's good. But the thing is with All Stars is what I was going to say is, so they have, it's been going on for 20 some years. Mm-hmm. And so all of the people, and the challenge is all of the people from the real world and the world rose, or used to be, and now it's different reality shows too, come and they do all these like really insane, hard physical competitions. And they like, get voted off and stuff. But now they're older, so no one's really like fucking each other. No one's really like...
They're not drinking.
No one's really getting wasted or fighting. So it's definitely a different thing. And then now they're trying to sort of reinvent it with younger people. And they had to make the challenges easier because no one could complete them. They're all like in their 50s now.
What other their, like, reality 40s. Shows are you into?
I mean, I watched during the pandemic, I never watched anything, but I got into The Challenge big time when I was going back and watching seasons and like, oh my God, the storyline is great from like 3 years ago. I watched Big Brother. I watched a couple seasons of Big Brother.
Watching the new season now?
I haven't watched the new season.
Me either.
I don't know if I will. I watched The Bachelor last season.
Uh-huh.
And I've watched the first episode of The Bachelorette, but I truly hated it.
Oh, was it this? Did it just start?
Of The Bachelorette?
Mm-hmm. I like Gabby though.
Yeah, the new, I really like her. Who was the last Bachelorette? Was Michelle?
It was Michelle.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple of seasons of The Bachelorette. Well,
sometimes
have been
duds. It's just, I don't know. It's just such an unbelievable show. It's like so, like, the people are also like full of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't watch this first episode. I don't know what it's going to be like with the two girls.
No one's into Love Island.
Love Island's fine.
Not the US. Survivor? The UK one.
I watched the first season of Survivor ever. I just moved out to LA. I remember being really into it and then just didn't. Well, they started the new season like right afterwards and I was like, I can't do this again.
It's my favorite thing about it. They don't wait that long in between. It's my favorite show. I freak out when I've ran into Jeff Probst and it's you would think I'm, you know, meeting Oprah or something. I freak out. He's my guy. He's the man. Would you ever do a reality show like that?
No. I just don't. I don't want to be on camera the whole time. I don't like. I don't want people to see me run.
Yeah,
I enjoy watching them, but yeah, I don't feel the need to be a part of that.
You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Anthony for sitting here, being polite, and you guys, we'll see you next week with a whole new episode
with Anthony. We're gonna have him back. He's coming every week.
I'm not leaving.
He said it's close,
but honestly, he's the only male comic who will agree to do our show after our shit went down. So thank you, because no one wants to fucking talk to us anymore.
You did not tell me that when you asked me to come.